Well, I was down there watching the obstacle course this morning, and I enjoyed watching the young kids yesterday. They really did a good job, but I really liked watching you horses out there today. You really were, well, guys and gals, you were really doing it. And I know we suffered some injuries today, and that's to be expected, but you know, I want to thank, and you ought to thank them too, our medical team that's here this week. I mean, we're very fortunate. We've got a full-fledged doctor, Dr. Rob, over here from Lincoln. He's well-trained. He works in an emergency room up there outside of Lincoln, and probably a host of nurses here that are probably the best in their field. Many of them are trauma nurses and worked in ICU and been at it for many, many years. And it's just really good to know that that somebody's here to take care of somebody that's got hurt. So I want to thank all of them. Last of all, worst case, you have me. I am a fully trained paraplegic, and I can help you with all kinds of problems that you may go through. So we're glad that to have everybody here to help you. Now, so far this week, we've looked at 2 days of the three that I wanted to talk about. The days as the child of God that I told you that you and I will have to face. Monday night, we talked about the day that God was going to get you alone. And now, tonight, Wednesday, you can see the truth of that message because, you know, God really did a work in many of your lives, Monday night and through Tuesday. And we saw it in the life of Jacob. We saw the great wrestling match between Jacob's will over God's will, what God wanted him to do in his life. We talked about God has a plan for every one of you and how that in camp, I don't ever look at the short term, I look at the long term of what God wants to do in your life. I'm trying to take a couple of days this week and just prepare you for what God has for you. Danny in the morning has been done a phenomenal job. Barb tomorrow at 2 o'clock is going to take the ladies and you're going to get some great principles on life to help you there. Everything that we're doing this week, we're not just doing to get you home to make you better for the next couple of weeks. We're looking at a change in your life. God changing your name of who you are. And this week God did a work in many of your lives. And so, you know, and when I come to camp and I preach, you got to be flexible. And I saw what God did last night, so I, you know, just make a lateral adjustment of what I want to do tonight because there's no use preaching to you about getting right with God, and most of you have. I'm few. There's a few here that are holding out, and maybe God will get a hold of you through this, but I'm going after now to teach you, to give you some things and give you some instructions. Then last night, of course, we saw the day that God will leave you alone. Wow, what a day that is. And, you know, and I love it because, you know, you hear what I say and then some of you think about it. And some of you were, you know, some of you were wondering about, you know, what really constitutes God leaving you alone. And I want to be clear, so, you know, so everybody, and I love questions like this. You know, we all mess up. We all screw up. We all do stupid things. Nobody's going to live a perfect life. You're going to have days where you don't do everything you should. That's not the kind of thing that God will leave you alone on. God will deal with you on that. When I talk about God leaving you alone, like I talked about last night, I use the example of the nation of Israel. The example of somebody just walking away from God. Someone who got saved and then just simply goes back to the world. It happens. And they never grow. They never get into the Bible. They never use the tools that God has given them. And consequently, they go back into the world. God will, you know, through the preaching of the Word of God, He'll try to get to them. And they'll just keep blowing it off and go their own way. And then just like the nation of Israel, you get so far and God says, okay, you're on your own. And then you go from there. And so we saw that as the point of no return. God changing your name. And I gave you, you know, 5 examples in the Bible that were good changes. And then last night I gave you 2 that were not good. Jeconiah and Joash. two men that God took his name off of their name and just let them go. You know, and God taking his name off the nation of Israel and saying, you know what? Don't name my name anymore out of your mouth. And he says, you know what? There was a time that I watched over you to make sure everything you got was the right. Now I'm going to let you go. Do your own thing. And I'm going to allow you to get consumed by the world. We saw it in 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians 5:5, where the Bible says that they turned one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. A saved man, that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. So we have talked about so far 2 days. We have talked about the day God gets you alone, and then we talked about the day that God will leave you alone. And tonight I want to preach to you about the last day you're going to face. And this day will be impacted, and it will be all come down to what you did with your life with the first 2 days that we've already talked about. And where we talked about the day God will get you alone, the day God will leave you alone, tonight I want to talk to you about the day that you will stand alone before God. I want to talk tonight about the judgment seat of Christ. I want to look at just two places tonight, and I want to encourage you tonight, and I want to show you some things. I want to go after the few holdouts that we still have here, but at the same time, I want to give you something to work forward that you leave here and you have a better understanding. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to begin reading in verse 9, and we'll come down through verse 17. He says, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For no other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy." You see, that's what we looked at last night, God leaving you alone, your body being that temple. "For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye?" So let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight, and we'll ask the Lord to open up and get everything going and get it all working and get into our hearts tonight. Drake, would you stand up and ask God's blessing upon the service tonight, buddy? Now this is the third day, and this is the day that you will stand alone. Now this day in the Bible is called the day of Jesus Christ. You're going to find that the day of the Lord in the Bible will always be the second coming of Christ, and the day of Jesus Christ will always be the rapture and the judgment seat of Christ. That's his day. And verse 13 says that when this day comes and we have to stand there, the day is going to declare some things. This day will declare who we really were. There won't be any facade in this day. There won't be any hiding it. There won't be any pretending. This day, when you stand alone and I stand alone, we'll give an account of what we did with what God gave us and what God told us to do. In fact, God came down and took on the body of a man. He died for you and me on the cross. He shed his blood for you and me. He did all of that so you and him could, you could do something for him. Most people never stop and think about it. Did you ever wonder why that Christ came down here? He was born. He lived only 33 years on this earth. The truth of the matter is, he really didn't start his work till he was 30 years old. So even though he was here 33 years, he only did the work of his Father for 3 years. And then he's crucified and he goes back to heaven. You would think that if God wanted to have the plan of God enacted through his Son, he would have had him live a full life or live forever. But he didn't. He sent him down here, and in 3 years' time, he trained 12 men. And then those 12 men took what he gave them and spread it all over the world. And the reason why God only allowed his son to do the work for 3 years and then took him back to heaven with the work not even begin to be finished is that God inspected you and me to carry on the work that Christ started. That's what he saved us for. And I want you to understand that. He saved us so you and I would carry on when Christ went back. Now, obviously you'll find God's people who get that. Most of the people in my church understand that. Most of you young people have a good handle on now at this point. And God saved you for a purpose. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, the Bible says that Jesus Christ became a dying sacrifice for us. When John saw him, he saw, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He was referencing the Lamb of God as the sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament. He became a dying sacrifice for you. But he wants you to be a living sacrifice for him. He wants you to finish what he started. And yet the Bible says in 12:1, he says, which is your reasonable servant. You see, it's always amazed me how that God looked at what he did for us, all that was paid on the cross, all that Jesus did, all the effort that went into it, and then he asked you and me to live for him, to be the living sacrifice, and God thinks that's a reasonable request based on what he's done for us. And it always amazed me how some of God's people think that that living for God and being that living sacrifice is an unreasonable request. After all that he's done for us. God's people are nuts. Amen. I'll tell you what. And then he goes on and he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now that transformed by the renewing of your mind, that's the day we talked about the last couple of days. That's the day where God will change your name. That's the day where you'll never go back to the world again. I'm not saying you're going to live a perfect life. You're going to have some downtime. We're going to do stupid things. We all do. But what I'm saying is the world is not an option anymore. You're not going back. The world has nothing for you. You may have your struggles and you may fall down and you may do some dumb things in life, but you're going to get back up because you're a soldier and you're going to get back up because you know what your reasonable service is. You're going to get back up because you know what he did for you and you're going to keep on going. You know, the world's a funny thing. And sometimes God's people fall into this trap. The world can inform you. The world obviously can misinform you. The world can try to conform you. The world can reform you. But only the Bible and God can transform you. And he wants to do that through the renewing of your mind. Now, the second thing I want to look at is found in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. You're to be a wise master builder. You're building God's temple, which last night we now know is your body, 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, you're bought with a price. So right now that you're saved, when you got saved, and some of you got saved last night, and now you're going to come to the place where you're going to begin that process, and you're going to be a wise master builder. He says, all of your life you're going to keep that building program going. We saw last night the book of Haggai, how that they had stopped building the temple. You don't ever want to get to the place in your life where you quit growing. I don't care how old you get. I'm an old man compared to most of you. I just turned 68 years old. And, you know, you got a long way to go before that you hit 68. But I want to tell you something. I learn every day of my life. I grow every day of my life. Because the Christian life is a life that you never stop growing. You know, in Christianity today, you know, we think a building program is building a building. And most churches, the only building program they ever think of is getting a new building someplace. But in reality, the church, Christianity, is not about building buildings. It's about building people. It's about building you. And in our church, we have discipleship one. That's where we start somebody. We have discipleship two. That's the next level. We have a four-year Bible Institute that most of the young men and young ladies in our church are part of, a lot of the couples. And it's a four-year program that I guarantee you at the end of that, they're going to know their Bible. We have what we call the people ministry. That's a ministry where about 80 or 90 people in our church, they work with me in counseling, dealing with people on all levels of issues. And we have worked together now for about 4 or 5 years training them. And all of this material, everything that we do on Sunday morning, Thursday night, with all the special things that we try to accomplish, with all of those things, it's a continuing building of who they are. And when you go back to your church, you go back to wherever you're from and you get back involved, you need to begin a program with your pastor. You need to begin to grow and make sure you keep on growing. Last night, as I said, I showed you what happened when you get growing. And verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, "But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." You need to pay attention how you build. You can't build your temple for God with the wrong people in your world. When you go back home, there may be, in most cases, some people you have to stay away from. They may be people in your own church. They may be people in your own youth group. You may have people there that are going to sandbag you and your growth. You're going to start to grow. You're going to start to get in. They care nothing about it, and they're going to pull you off. You're going to have to take heed how you build. And you're going to have to be a wise master builder in that building. And, you know, the theme of our camp this week is CrossFit. That's a training program. You take somebody who's CrossFit, cross-training, that means you can do multiple things and you're trained to do those. Well, that's what this week's all about, to train you to do multiple things. It's a building program. And I want you to leave here tomorrow night with a training program. Some of you, and this is not a criticism because I love you, some of you were here at camp last year and you failed in that. You went back home, the world got swallowed you up again, and here you are, hitting the altar up here again, which I'm glad that you did. But I want more than that for you. I want you to be able to come to camp next year with your shoulder back, your head up high, and saying to me, "I stayed true to the building program all year long." That's going to take some work. It's going to take some commitment. We're going to talk about that tomorrow night. I'm going to show you how you're going to do that. You may go home and, you know, you're all excited about coming to church. And again, this is not a criticism, but your mom and dad may not be excited about coming to church. And if you're not careful, you'll fall right back into that attitude that they have. You're going to have to be the driving force. We'll come and get you there. We'll do whatever we got to do to get you to church. If mom and dad don't want to come and they're willing to let you come, let us know. We'll come and get you. Don't let the building program stop in your life. A wise master builder, and you want to take heed how you build. You know, I work out a couple of times a week at a gym, a big facility. And it always amazes me that it's funny, right after Christmas, January 1, the place is packed. I mean, you can't even get on a machine. Everybody has made their New Year's resolution that they're going to get in shape. And so everybody shows up at the gym, and it's packed. 3 weeks later, a month later, or maybe 2 months later, it's right back to being the way it was. Just a few people that are dedicated there. You know why? Because those people that wanted to get in shape never got dedicated to the program to get in shape. And it'll happen the same way here. We got 200 people here. You're going to go home tomorrow night. And you know what? If you don't get a dedicated program in your life and you don't leave here determined to make the thing work, get with Zach, get with me, get with your youth pastor from St. Louis, get with everybody in your world that can help you, you too will be just like all the people at the gym. You'll go out of here on fire, and 3 weeks from now, where will you be? You'll be right back where you were. Now, I want to show you the third thing he says here. And this will be in verse 10 and in verse 11. He says, "No other foundation can no man lay which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Laying a foundation in your life with a relationship with God is getting saved. Now, I want to say this to you. All the people who got saved last night, or all the people who have gotten saved up to this point, stand up in this camp. Just stand up right now. I want to see it for myself. All the people who have gotten saved, just stand up. Stay up, stay up, stay up, stay up, stay up. If you got saved this week here at this, stay up, stay up. I didn't say sit down. I said if you got saved at this week at camp. Oh, I see. You're misunderstanding me. All right. If you got saved this week at camp, stand up. I didn't say you got saved last year at camp. If you got saved this year at camp, yesterday or today, stand up. Okay, now let me stand up for a minute. Let me talk to you folks. I'm going to tell you something. You just laid the foundation in your life. That foundation is the day you got saved. That foundation is Jesus Christ. No other foundation could be laid which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the foundation from this point on you're going to build on. You're going to take the day you got saved, and that's going to be the anchor point of your life. Everything you do for the rest of your Christian life is going to go back to that day. That day is the foundation of your body being the temple of God, and that is the foundation that you're going to build on, and you need to take heed how you build thereon. You may sit down. Thank you. That is very important for you. That is absolutely an important aspect of your life. God will give you salvation free. But your works, you have to build upon that foundation. And that's what God wants to do in your world and do in your life. The day you got saved, you have now laid the foundation. And the Bible says that when you stand before God and you stand alone, everything you put in that foundation is going to be manifested. And you'll stand there before Him. You'll stand there before the one who died for you, did everything for you, and now you're going to have to tell Him why you did what you did or why you didn't do what you did based on what He did. And that's an incredible thing. The foundation of your life will be the day you got saved. All right, the fourth thing I want you to see. Look at verse 12 and 13. "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it." Now, I want you to notice that once you lay the foundation in your life, you can now build six things on that foundation. Three are good, three are bad. The three good ones will be because you submit yourself to God and God changed your name in a good way. The three bad things will be you didn't, and God changed your name in the wrong way, like we saw the other night. Now, he talks about six things. I want to take a few minutes and talk about that. And this is what I want you to understand. You got saved. You laid the foundation in your life. The first thing he says you build upon that foundation there is gold. Now, gold, everybody knows what gold is. Gold is the highest standard that man has on this earth of value. I mean, the gold standard. How many times have we heard that phrase? This is the gold standard of pulpits. In other words, it's the best you can get. And of course, gold in the Bible will always represent the deity of Jesus Christ. Gold in the Bible will always represent Jesus Christ. And so when the Bible talks about building upon this foundation, the number one thing is gold. That's talking about you who just got saved and you who are already saved began to build upon that foundation, understanding who God is. And you do that. You learn who Christ is. You learn all about him, the gold, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You invest your life, the rest of your life, finding out everything you can about God. Everything you can. You'll find out everything that you ever wanted to know about him. You'll study his life when he was on this earth at the first coming of Christ. You'll study him as he now seated at the right hand of God the Father. You'll study him in the aspect of the second coming of Christ when he comes back to judge the world. You'll study him at the great white throne judgment where he stands now as the judge of the unsaved dead. You'll find everything you can out about him. And when you build upon that foundation, gold, you now are in a lifelong pursuit of understanding every aspect of who Jesus Christ is in your life. One of the things that you had as homework tonight was 21 types of Christ. In the Bible, there are 21 men who represent in what they do with their life and show you a picture of what Jesus Christ is like. If you got all 21 men together and studied their lives, read the passages, studied everything that they did, you would find a great picture emerging of who Jesus Christ really is. It's things like that that you study in your Bible and you build upon that foundation which you laid, your salvation, gold. Learning who he is. And I cannot impress upon you that if you're ever going to do anything for God, you're going to have to know who he is. Okay. Joey, out in my truck, I forgot to get this. I need it for my sermon, okay? Out in my truck, go get what I need. Joey? Come here a minute. Where are you going?
To your truck.
To get what?
Something that you need for the shipment.
What do I need?
Why was it me? Yeah. Why it has to be me?
Yeah. Because I love you and you're my best buddy. Didn't I ask you were going to help me at camp this year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Okay,
it's okay. It's okay. Just calm down here. You're breathing awful heavy. Your heart a little pitter-patter here, like a little rabbit I caught one time. Your heart's just going pitter-patter. Now, I need you to go to my truck. I need you to get me what I need. Go ahead.
Black Ford Ranger? Wait, what is it?
Good. Now, how is he going to ever get for me what I need unless I tell him what I need? You know, this is how most of God's people, they go through life trying to do something for God, but they don't have the relationship that Joey and I have that I can say to Joey, "You're breaking my neck, Joey, I'm going to shoot you." You see, if I have to tell Joey what I want him to do for me for Joey to do it. And the only way that Joey's going to do that is between Joey and I communicate and we talk. And if you're going to ever do what God wants you to do, you can't just go running off thinking you're going to do whatever he wants you to do. He has to tell you. And the only way he can tell you is through a relationship of knowing who he is. Thanks, buddy. Love you, man. That's how it works. That's how it works. Now, see, I got a great plan for Joey. He thinks he's going into the Marine Corps, but he's not really. He's going to become my first sergeant in my church. And he's going to be a good one, too. Now, the second thing in there, he says you build upon that foundation. He says gold. And then he says silver. Now, I don't know what you know about this, so let me help you here. But if you would go through your Bible, and you can study this on your own, Go back to Numbers chapter 3. Don't right now, just write this down. Numbers chapter 3, verse 47 through 49. Exodus chapter 30, verse 13. And Matthew chapter 26, verse 15. Silver in the Bible will always represent redemption. And where gold represents who God is, the silver you built on this foundation will now represent what God did for you. You see, it's not enough just to know who He is. That's very important. But you also have to know the price that was paid for you. I have a debt to God. It's a debt that looms over my head every day of my life because I understand what He did for me. The reason why some of you and the reason why so many of God's people get saved and live their life the way they want to and never do anything for God is simply because fundamentally they really don't understand what God did for them. I guarantee you, if you were grown up and got married and had a little child, and that little child was 4 or 5 years old, and you were out in the front yard doing some things, and you kind of lost track of them, and that little child ran out into the street, and a truck was coming down the street, surely going to run them over and kill them. And your neighbor saw it when you didn't, and that neighbor ran out and grabbed that little baby and threw him out of the way, and that neighbor got hit with that truck instead of your baby. I don't think that you just walk over while he's laying in a pool of blood with his last breath and say, "Thanks, come on, let's go inside and have some Kool-Aid." That would impact your life that your neighbor gave his life that your little child could live. And I'm telling you, you'd go through the rest of your life obligated. He may have kids that now don't have a father. You would feel responsible for them. You'd want to help them. You'd want to be there for them. You'd want to feel some obligation to his family because of the price that he paid to keep your child. And on Jesus Christ died for me, when he paid my price, he did exactly that. He died in my place. Amen. And I'll never get over it. I don't always do the right thing. And there's been times in my life when I've not done all the right thing, just like everybody else in this room. But I want to tell you this, there'll never be a day in my life that I won't be thankful for what he did for me. And I will, as God gives me breath and God gives me strength and God gives me the courage to do so and the grace to do it, I will take my stand for him against any place, anytime, anywhere, simply because of what he did for me. And I understand what he did for me. And I appreciate what he did for me. So the first thing you build upon that foundation is gold. You learn who he is. The second thing you're going to want to build on it, now that you are saved and you have the foundation and you leave here, is you want to build upon that foundation silver. You want to understand what he did for you. You want to realize the price that was paid for your salvation. Then the third thing he says you build upon that foundation, it says it's precious stones. Now again, if you would have your Bible and you would want to look at it and lay it out, you'd go back to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. You'd go to Matthew chapter 13. You could go to Malachi chapter 3. And you would find that precious stones in the Bible represent people. So the three things that when you get saved, the three main things that you're going to build are going to be gold, knowing who he is, silver, knowing what he did for you, precious stones, the people he brings into your life. You know how the Christian life works? I know, we like to make it complicated, don't we? Yeah, we do. Amen. Preachers like to make it complicated, but it isn't really complicated. And I don't want you going out of here thinking that your Christian life with God is really complicated. Here's how it works, and it's real simple. Gold, what does that represent now? Silver, what does that represent? precious stones. What does that represent? Here's how it works. You see, when you learn who he is on that foundation, and then you learn what he did for you, the silver, you just can't help telling somebody else what he did. There's the precious stones. It's just that simple. The reason why God's people don't tell other people about what Christ has done for them is because they don't understand what he's done for them. You see, I've met Christians all my life, when they witness, they will tell other people what God will do for them. You know, that's not a very good witness. You don't want to tell people what God will do for them. You want to tell people what God has done for you. You want to make it personal. But the reason why some of them can't make it personal, because God hasn't done anything for them. So we see that now that you've saved and you have a foundation, when you leave here, the three things that you want to build upon that foundation is gold, silver, and precious stone. Get to know who he is. Get to know what he did for you. And then begin to tell other people about it, and God will put those things into your life. Now, those are the three good things. Now we have three not-so-good things. We have wood. We have hay. And we have stubble. Now, wood is a dead tree. Hay is dead grass. Stubble is dead wheat. So what you have here, you have a Christian who is going to build the three things that are going to make them everything that God wants them to be, or you're going to have the Christian who doesn't do anything, and they build wood, hay, and stubble. They build a dead tree, they build dead grass, and they build dead wheat. And what you wind up having is dead things for a dead Christian when they stand alone at the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 13 says that the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14 says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Now, fire is the key here. Fire is what God always uses to purify something. In the Old Testament, when he was dealing with Israel and their sin, they took the animal of the sacrifice and they had to burn it. And you're going to find that when the fire hits this day, when you stand alone, when the fire hits gold, it only purifies it. It doesn't hurt it. Gold, you put it into the fire purifies the gold, makes it purer. When you put fire to silver, it purifies the silver, gets the impurities out of it, and you get a pure form of silver. When you put fire to precious stones, it doesn't affect them. They are such hardness of stone that the fire just doesn't affect them at all. And the realization that when you fire hits the wood, the hay, and the stubble, it all goes up and you lose everything you have. This day for a lot of God's people is the day that they're going to stand alone and they're going to look at God and his Son, and for the first time in their life, they're going to realize everything that God has done for them. Right now, it's easy to busy ourselves and not think about it. But when you stand before him on that day alone, you're going to look into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to see the scars in his hands and his feet and the spear hole in his side. And you're for the first time in your life, which you could have learned it building the relationship the right way on the foundation, but you chose not to. So now, the first time in your life, you're going to realize everything that he did for you. And at the same moment of time, like a freight train coming down the track, you're going to realize what you didn't do for him. I would say that in that day, once the realization falls in, as you stand there alone and you see all the glory of heaven, you see the throne of God, and in your mind's eye, you know now exactly the price and the agony and the cross, everything that you should have learned now by the gold, the silver, and the precious stone, but you refuse to. I'd say there's going to be some of God's people begging at the elevator of heaven, the stairway of heaven, to go back on this earth and just have 5 minutes to serve God with what they know now. And you know what? They won't get it. You got your life now. When you get to that day, you've already come full circle. You had the day God got you alone and you said no. You had the day that God left you alone and you were just fine with that. So now you're going to stand, and you're going to stand on this day and face God alone. And you're going to have to realize there's a song in your hymnal that I'm not sure of the page, but it's a great old song. You know what it says? It's about this judgment seat of Christ, and it simply says, "And must I go in empty-handed?" And a lot of God's people will. A lot of God's people will face God empty. When that fire hits the gold, silver, and precious stones, it purifies it, and a great, 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 great cry goes up from heaven of praising God. And so many of God's people's lives, when that fire hits the wood, hay, and stubble, everything they thought they had goes up. And there'll be a great cry, but it won't be a cry of rejoicing. It'll be a cry of agony if they lost. And let me just say to you, God wipes away all tears, but he doesn't do that till way after the judgment seat of Christ. There'll be tears at the judgment seat of Christ. I guarantee you. Matthew, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 is the other place I wanted to look at. And it says, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the thing done in his body according that he had done, whether it be good or bad." What you're going to do with what God has given you, but the day you stand alone. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 calls this day the terror of the Lord. My, what a day that'll be. No mommy or no daddy to intervene for you. No friends to come to your aid. No same old excuses that you give the preacher, you give your mom, or you give yourself. On that day, you're going to look into his eyes of the one that died for you, and you, it's going to be just you and him. Old Baxter McClellan was an old-time circuit preacher back in the 1800s. And he used to preach on the judgment seat of Christ, and he used to preach hard. And he was a hard preacher. And he would get the crowd squirming, and he would get the crowd all uncomfortable, and he didn't hold anything back. And he used to say, he'd get the crowd squirming, man. He'd be preaching on the judgment seat of Christ, or preaching on hell, or preaching on God's coming judgment, or preaching on sin, and all the place would just be just really squirming in their seat. You know what he used to say? He would used to say, "If an old two-bit tin horn preacher like me can get you squirming in your seat like you just sat on a beehive, what are you going to do in that day when the holy eyes of a holy God look down through your naked soul?" Well, there's a lot of truth in that. A lot of truth in that. The day you stand alone. My goal this week has been able to try to get you to the point where that you leave here with a program that you can stand alone and you can stand and come out of that thing looking pretty good, building upon that foundation, gold, silver, precious stone. He says, "Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. But we have made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience." You know, and that's what I'm trying to do this week. I know I'm preaching to you, but I'm trying to persuade you. Monday night, I tried to persuade you how important it was to understand that how important this week was, that God wanted to come down and touch you. Last night, I wanted to persuade you how terribly disaster it was going to be in your life if you walked out of this camp and didn't let God touch you and did your own thing. And many of you responded to that. And tonight, I want you to assuage you to realize that when you leave here tomorrow night, you have to understand something has to be different this time. You have to look deep inside yourself, and you have to realize that some things this year have to be different than years gone by. You have to get a program. You have to get a structure. You have to begin to build on that foundation that you already have laid, if you're already saved, or that you laid this week. And if you don't do that, you're going to be right back in the same situation you're in tonight. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11, he says this, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Now you need to get this down, and you need to understand this. That Bible says that every knee will bend and bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not a matter of whether you will or whether you won't. It's only a matter of when you will. You'll either do it now in this life under a God of love and a God of grace, or you'll do it in that day right there as a God of judgment. It's not a matter that you will bow your knee and confess that he's the Lord of your life. It's not a matter of whether you will or whether you won't. And a lot of guys say, a lot of gals say, "Well, I'm not going to do that." It's not a matter of whether you will or whether you won't. It's only a matter of when you will. You'll either do it now under a God of love and grace, or you'll do it then at that day of judgment when you stand alone. But you'll do it. You'll do it. Now, this week has been for you. Some of you, you got saved this week, and you laid the foundation in your life, and you're ready to build. Some of you, last night, this whole front was filled. Some of you were already saved when you came here, but what you did last night is got a big old shovel and cleaned the garbage off the foundation that you laid in your life. And now you're ready to build. The question remains what you're going to do when you leave tomorrow night. Going to be a real temptation just to slide right back into everything. Going to be a real temptation to go back to everything that you were doing. Because we won't have camp next week. We won't have the services. You won't have Danny preaching to you or me preaching to you. You won't have the safety of your counselor. Tomorrow night when you leave here, you're going back out into the world as a soldier for Jesus Christ. And how you fight that battle is going to determine how well you fare. Right now, I've done the best job I could do this week. And we've got the foundation clear. For most of you, the ones that got saved last night, you're in a great spot. You got a clean slate, man. You can start building on that foundation. The ones that had been saved and got clean last night with God, you're in a great spot. Everything is scraped off that foundation, and now you can begin to build. The question is, will you? Will you? Will you? And my advice to you, we're going to talk about this tomorrow night, is to go back and build. Get with your pastor, get with your group, get with your counselors. Keep going with what God started this week. I don't know what plan that Zach has that is going to carry this week on, but I guarantee you he will have something, and I guarantee you, you need to get in it. Remember, don't stop growing. You're to be a wise master builder. And you're to take heed how you build upon that foundation. Proverbs 24 verse 5 says, a wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. You now begin to lay on that foundation gold, silver, precious stones. Stay away from the wood, hay, and stubble, because the fire's coming, and you have a day where God wanted to get you alone, a day when God will leave you alone, and now you have the day presented to you when you will stand alone, and you will give an account with what you did with what God has done for you. And nobody will stand with you. You will be on your own. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Let me just say to you, tomorrow night, I'm going to give you your final message that you're going to hear at camp, and it'll be a challenge to you. I've enjoyed this week unlike any other week I've had in a long time in my life. I've really enjoyed being here. You're the greatest bunch of kids in the world to preach to. You really are. There's a lot of good material here, a lot of tenderness, a lot of love here, a lot of caring about God and the things of God here, and that's what we need. So I want you to know that I love you very much and that I'm praying for you, and we'll put it all together tomorrow night. But let's have a word of prayer, and then Zach, you come and you give them whatever you need to give them, and let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus. We love you so much. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Thank you for these good kids. Pray for their souls, Lord, and for their attitude of heart. And thank you for your word. We love you. Pray your blessings upon it all tonight now. In Jesus' name, for sake we ask it. Amen.